yandeta mu kanisa eno
ate
n'ankuumirawo
yonna
gira ano nalina ekirwadde era ekirwadde ekyo kyali kimazeeko emyaka
10
emala okunaaba nziruka misinde ene neekwagula nze ena okumala ensaawa
ngannaomwaka
gwa 2017 twalina ano conference mu
But in 2017, we had a conference in November.
So Bishop Nagama, do you know what you want to do?
And Bishop said that here there is a person after a shower. Your body itches you, so you go and scratch yourself, and God has delivered you from that. That's how that sickness disappeared. I came also here when there was something disturbing
me.
I had a habit that had begun and became a problem. I would have no peace, no joy.
Gwali moyo gwa masturbation era nga gumazeeko ekiseera myaka gyali ng'ebiri
and taking 2 years masturbating
nga mpulira amazima genyini nga sirina bulamu kati bishop n'atusomesa
and bishop taught us
zijukira bulungi olunyi lwali mu Tito
I remember somewhere the verse was in Titus.
Ya tusomesa na gamba nti kisa kya Katonda kituwe shobulo kozi kitulabiki.
He taught us and said that the grace of the Lord that gives us salvation has come upon us.
Tuigiriza ngobutati ya Katonda.
Teaching us not to fear, not to fear God.
To say no.
When I left church, I went to
fight with that thing using that verse. So after one day, after I had resisted it that day, at last I overcame it for real. In the night I had a dream. I'd stayed 2 years in the prison. But I had escaped. The guards at the prison chased me and they were shooting, but they never caught me. Another thing, I came here when I was ramshackled. I had a lot of soul in my life. I would not rejoice. But I'm thankful to God. He touched me. Now I'm looking nice. Last time I told you that I had no wisdom. But when I came over here and I had a bishop preach, he was speaking so well. And I saw there was a special wisdom upon him. I loved it. I said I also have to get such wisdom. That time bishop was getting out and he went the other side. He was shaking people's hands. I said each time the service ends I'll go. I shake his hands and say I'm taking this kind of wisdom. I did it for some good time and I would be in the services. In service, I would get out and shake his hands and I speak that I shall have such kind of wisdom. Now each time I would speak
it, it took time.
In one day in the service, he said, whatsoever you believe God to do for you, shall do it for you. When he said it, I heard him tell me and I said, Amen. Since that time, I began to see change in a way I expected it. And I
thank
you to the church. Since that time, I discovered something special happened to me. Even my cousin sister left the village and came here. He found us in the overnight. That was leading intercession. I took time to pray. At the end of the service, when I went out, she came and told me surely God can change. For she used to see me. But she saw a different person. Started and stopped at
senior
school. But I came out of school, I dropped out of school without knowing English. For the 3 years I studied in secondary, I remember I tried speaking English for only 2 times.
They laughed at me. Since then I stopped. So I came out of school and I didn't know how to speak English. He said, now I must learn how to speak English. I thank God in morning glory I preach in English. Lunch hour I do preach in English.
You are most welcome for this Eureka Kingdom time. Our time for the word is Eureka Kingdom time. It is called Eureka Kingdom time. The word Eureka simply means I've got the answer. And our answer is through the word. And it gives us the solution. So the time of the word is a time for solutions. Praise God. And we are looking at a very important subject today. The first part of the message entitled, Make the Word Work for You. Make the Word Work for You. Praise God. Make the Word Work for you. You have to know that you have a great God. You are serving a great God. And we're in a kingdom. Your relationship with that God, because of Jesus Christ, is a special relationship. You enter the kingdom. You are a citizen in the kingdom of God. You are a child of God. You are adopted because you made a personal commitment to Jesus Christ, who paid a price to save us. Praise God. He paid the price to save us. And so let's look at the fact that we are a special people called to impact our world. But through faith, we must have violent faith. We must have violent faith. Never allow the devil to make you think that you are ordinary. You are not ordinary. Once you have accepted Christ as your Lord and Savior, you are not an ordinary person. You are a child of God. You are in the kingdom of God. You have a purpose. You are here on behalf of God. You are here to serve God. And because you belong to kingdom, to the kingdom of God, you can access a lot of power. You can access a lot of power from God. You can access resources from Him. You know, it amazes me how kingdom people forget their identity. People who have been saved by Christ, they forget what the Bible says about them. In fact, we need to look at that thing closely, very seriously this year. So they go to live an ordinary life. Because change begins in the heart. Your mind must change. So the word of God must change the way you think. You take what God says you are. Stick to that. Confess it. Act on that. Now let's look at this Matthew 11:11-13. Matthew chapter 11:11-13. These are the statements of Jesus. I tell you the truth. Among those born of women, there has not risen anyone greater than John the Baptist. Yet he who is least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than he. Verse 12. From the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven has been forcefully advancing. And forceful men lay hold hold of it. For all the prophets and the law prophesied until John. So Jesus said, look, I tell you the truth. John was a great person. No one born of a woman who is greater than John. That's what
he said.
Up to that, throughout that era. Imagine even John is greater than Moses. Yet we know that Moses did great things. But why did Jesus say that John was one of the greatest prophets? Because all the other prophets prophesied about him. About him being a forerunner to the Messiah, the Usher, the one who will introduce the Savior of the world to the world, the one who will introduce Jesus. Because all the prophets, when they looked at the revelation God gave them, they were so, the revelations were very wonderful. Very great things were spoken about the church era, about you. So with them, they wanted, said, we wish we were going to see this Messiah. We are going to see this great work. In fact, even one time Jesus spoke about it, that kings and all kind of people were wishing they could see what we are seeing. But they did not see it because it was not their time. But John was able to see Jesus and introduce him to see the Savior, the Messiah. John was able to see it. So it was a big thing, and for him to introduce him, behold the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world. That's what John did. But look at the statement of Jesus. Yet he who is least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than John. You just look at that. Yet the one who is born again, who is saved, is greater than John. Greater than all those people. Why? Because they are in the age. They are the ones fulfilling the prophecies. They are there to participate, and to experience the wonderful promises that God gave. They can experience it. They can test it. They can live it. So you can see the kind of person you are. I'm bringing this for you, first of all, to look at how great you are in the Lord, in Christ. And now, after looking at a kind of special person you are, now look at the many promises in the Word of God. Those promises must be realized in your life. The Word of God must work for you. The Word of God must work for you. Tell your neighbor, the Word of God must work for you. So the kingdom of God, that's what Jesus said from the days of John the Baptist until now. The kingdom of heaven has been forceful advancing, and forceful men lay hold of it. You are in the kingdom. You must advance forcefully using your faith. Forcefully, your faith in Christ and the promises of God. You must advance. You cannot remain where you are. You must go to the next level. You must go to the next level. You must advance the kingdom, the rule of God, the influence of God. Praise God. He put you here to serve him, to change this world, to make it better, to rule for him, to excel. When you excel, you exercise dominion. You take charge. So you are here as a priest and as a king. A priest takes issues to God. Stands between people and God. You stand between your people and God. You stand between your family and God. You stand between people you love or people who are suffering and God and pray for them. And God changes the situation for them. And then you're a king, you exercise dominion. You rule on his behalf. You decree. You act on his behalf. So it's about how we live, how we act, how we speak, and how we act. It has to be, we have to keep in mind that we are kingdom people. Because if we are kingdom people, if God has given us dominion over the earth here, then his word must work for us. But you see, sometimes, because laws that God has put in place, that you reap what you sow. So everything we say, everything we do, can bring an harvest. Even when we don't do what we are supposed to do, we do nothing. The harvest is nothing but a lot of nothing. So we have to be very, very careful. So the law that says that you reap what you sow, we have to be careful about it. If we want the word of God to work for us, then watch what you sow. Through your words and your deeds, watch it. Watch it. Don't forget. That's why Apostle Paul said in a simple way, that allow God to turn you into a new person by changing the way you think. You change the way you think by putting the word to replace what you were taught in your culture and in your background. That's how you change your life. It begins from your mind. Praise God. Give the Lord a mighty hand of praise. You use violent faith. You use violent faith. You decide to believe what God promises you. And you go for it. You go for it. Praise God. You have to make decisions, certain decisions, to refuse to live an ordinary life because you are not ordinary. Christ purchased you. So refuse, decide. Make decisions. In fact, it is good we are in February. We have decided to make about 5 decisions. Serious decisions. Some people wait for time. Time will change things. Time cannot change anything. It is what you decide that will change things. Praise God. Some people say, when I get money, things will change. No, money will not change anything. No, money does not change things. When what you decide is what will change things. In fact, it's even what you decide is what will bring money into your hand. Praise God. So you make decisions because you are in the kingdom. You refuse to live an ordinary life. You refuse to talk like people who talk in the world. You refuse to go by the philosophy of the world. You go by the philosophy of heaven. You go by the word of God. You will see change in your life. And you pray according to the word. And you live the word. And you speak the word. Change must come. Praise God. For all the prophets and the law prophesied until John. In other words, with you, You are living the fulfillment now. You are in the fulfillment of what was prophesied. All the fulfillment of God's promises was fulfilled in Jesus Christ. And you have Jesus. Praise God. You have Christ. The law was fulfilled. The promises of God was fulfilled in Christ. So he redeemed us for good works. If we want the word of God to work for us, let's watch what we say, how we speak, and how we act. How we speak and how we act. Because it will bring fruit. Hyper grace people will tell you, oh, once you are saved, you live by grace, the grace of God's salvation. You can live the way you want. They preach in a way that will make people not fear sin. And yet Christ came to deliver us. True grace will deliver you from the power of sin. True grace. Faith grace will keep you there. Faith grace will keep you there. True grace will deliver you. And that's what scripture says very clearly. Ephesians chapter 2, verse number 10. For we are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. We are saying if we want the word of God to work for us, let's be watchful about what we speak and how we act. We have to be very careful. We have to be deliberate about it. We have to make a decision about that. And that's why Apostle Paul advised the church in Rome and even and that word is also given for you, that let God change you into a new person by changing the way you think. By changing the way you think. When a person thinking changes, his life changes. They will speak now a different language, they will act a different thing. They will produce a different character, the character of Christ in them. Their destiny will be wonderful. Praise God. So that is the basic. You put the word of God in your mind. You renew your mind. Then you will be able to tell what the will of God is. His good and perfect will for your life. Ephesians chapter 2 verse 10 in Message translation, it says, no, we neither make nor save ourselves. God does both the making and the saving. He creates each of us by Christ Jesus to join him in the work he does. The good work he had gotten ready for us to do. Work we had better be doing. All of you are called to do something. To do good work. God created you to come on earth and do good things. That will make the world better. And as you do good things, you also reap good things. Praise God. You reap good things. Because we don't want to be religious, like religious people. We are not religious people. We are spiritual people. We are not religious. We are God's children. We are saved by the grace through faith. We are saved. We are committed to Jesus Christ. And because we are committed to him, he put his spirit in us. We are directly connected to the Father. So the Spirit of God now guides you in this life. And is ready to help you to succeed. Praise God. Good works does not save you. That's what other religion have. Oh, if you can do this, do this,
do this.
God will be happy with you.
You'll
go to heaven. No, cannot save you. You are saved by faith in Christ. The grace of God by grace through faith in Christ. You are saved so that after your salvation, you can do good things. But it's very difficult to do good things without salvation. You cannot pass certain limit in life. You can't beat certain things. You cannot even beat the power of sin. You cannot. But in Christ, God can renew you. God can change you. The life of Christ can manifest through you. I'm not teaching about fasting, but I'm teaching about the way you should live. Even while you are fasting, the way you live is very important. You should be mindful of who you are. What you have been called to do, good works. God wants you to do certain things. He has made it clear. The people of Israel were at a covenant with God called the Old Covenant. With us, we have the New Covenant. But time reached when they were just religious. They would even fast. But the way they were living was wrong. And it made God not answer them. We don't want to fall into that trap. You can pray like, I don't know, angels don't pray. But you can pray like a very great prayer warrior. Angels are messengers. They are there to work for God and to work for you. Praise God. Angels are real. When your words are good, they will defend you, they will collect for you answers. When your words are bad, they just stand and look at you. Because we are talking things that they cannot use. Every one of you as a baby, the day you were born on earth, an angel was assigned to you. That's why Jesus said, be careful how you handle these little ones. Because their angels see the face of the Father in heaven. The angel reports to the Father. So you have an angel. So when you have grown up, the angel doesn't go away. Still with you. Me have had experiences with angels. One of them was during worship. We were worshiping around from midnight to around 2 o'clock. I used to worship with my wife for about 2 hours in the night. And one day we were only two people worshiping. We had the third voice join us. And of course, as we are moving, worshipping, your feet is moving. So we decided to stop. She also stopped and stopped. But we had the voice, that voice was so beautiful. Why are you to pray for God to anoint your voices? If you listen to that voice, no, whoever says that referring to an angel that you will sing like an angel.
They had the angel
sing. Some people have had vision of going to heaven. They sing. It's really beautiful. It's like a stereo. But a voice. That voice continued. And we had the foot moving for some time. You can imagine. I opened my eyes to look at her. She also opened her eyes to look at me. Because we had closed our eyes. So the angel is real. They wait for the right word you speak, then they bring the answer. Some of you have escaped accident because you shouted the name Jesus. Then the angel quickly did something. Because you shouted the name. He answered your words. Praise God. Like in Isaiah 58, God was complaining about the words of his people. And their actions. Let's look at Isaiah 58 verse 3-4. Why have we fasted, they say, and you have not seen it? Why have we humbled ourselves and you have not noticed? Yet on that day, on the day of your fasting, you do as you please and exploit all your workers. Your fasting ends in quarreling and strife and in striking each other with wicked fists. You cannot fast as you do today and expect your voice to be heard on high. You see, these people were also complaining. God had their complaint and God began to complain also. God began to show them their mistake. They were saying, why have we fasted and you have not seen it, God? They were just doing things religiously. But God told them, said, look, on the day you are fasting, you are living like ordinary people. Even on Sabbath. You know what these people were doing? Some of them were businessmen. They were making those days which were holidays for their people. They would force their workers to work and make money for them. That's how they were desecrating the Sabbath. But for us in Christ, every day is a Sabbath day for us. Every day is a worship day for us. Every day we have to honor God. Every day we have to obey Him. Every day we have to live the way He wants us to live. And that's why He put the Holy Spirit in us. Praise God. They were quarreling. They were fighting physically. So God told them, don't expect to see change. Don't. So they lived in a wrong way. They were just doing religion. They seemed like they were seeking God every day. But it was an outward show. Just was an outward show. They were what you call hypocrites. Pretenders, double dealers. That is what hypocrisy means. Making the promises of God work by living it. Make it work by living it. So let's look at how what God told them in Isaiah 58, verse 6 to 12, 6 to 13. 6 to 13, this is what God said. Is not this the fast that I've chosen? To lose the bands of wickedness, to undo the heavy burdens, and to let the oppressed go free, and that ye break every yoke. Let your fasting Let the way you live lead you to set people free, to
pray for them,
to help them. Remember, whatever we have here on earth, God gave us. We are managers. We are not the owner. We are managers. We handle it for Him. And He's ready to multiply that what He has committed to us if we handle it well. That's the reason for the parable Jesus gave about the talents. He gave three different amount of money to three different servants and said, go and use it and make profit. Whatever God has put in our hands is for making profit. Praise God. It's for making profit. So God never planned for your failure. I'm here to tell you that from this time you will not fail. I say you will not fail. Because you have agreed. You have agreed to go by one standard. We are not going to go by another standard. Let's believe God. Sister Joy, let's be violent in our faith. Violent. Don't sit back and say, will I really get this? No, you must get it. You must get what God has for you. Praise God. Brother Edward, I'm very happy about you and I know you'll get what God has for you. You did the right thing and said, no, let me go back. Praise God. Even let me go back. If I can start even from where I left from, it is okay, let me go back. Because then God will take, because He's the only God who restores the years the locust has eaten. Praise God. Let me tell you, church, don't worry about the past. There are years that the locust ate, the Lord will restore. He's able. We have a God who is awesome. He's able to restore it. Verse 7. Is it not to give out your bread to the hungry? Food and Agriculture Organization, the UN body, says the food that we have in the world today, the world produces enough food 1.5 times more. It's enough to feed the 10 billion plus people who are alive. It's enough. But hundreds of millions go to bed every day without food in their stomach, hungry. And most of this food are produced in the Western world. Another part of the world. Do you know what they do with that food? They turn it into biofuel for running machines. They get fuel out of it. Then much of it is also given for, made for animal feed. And the people, the world remains hungry.
Now,
even some of them, they just pour in the ocean if they have no storage for it. And that's why the kingdom of God must advance and reach people, so that they begin to value what God values, and that is human life. And they begin to serve God the way God wants them to serve Him. That's why we have to preach the gospel. So if it is in your power to help people, eat, help them eat. If it is in your power to feed them, feed them. If it is in your power to shelter them, that's what verse 7 says, shelter them, contribute to their shelter, maybe to their rent, shelter them, if it is in your power. When they are uncovered, when they are without clothes, give them clothing. That's why Jesus says, in the last day as they're judging the judgment day, the goats will be on the left and the sheep on the right. And then he would now tell the people on the right that I was angry. You fed me, I was naked and clothed
me.
I was sick. And you visited me. I was in prison. All kind of things. But they would ask him and said, Lord, when did we see you? He said, no. Whatever you did to the list of those people there, when you are living on earth, you did it to me. So really, Jesus was talking about how we would live our lives, conduct our lives. Remember, our words and our actions are seeds. So make sure that you do good when it is in your power to do it. And in verse 8, then we are told that then thy light shall break forth as morning. Thy light, your answer will come. The way will be clear for you. Praise God. Let me tell you, church, nothing, as God's people, nothing can close our way. Even when the devil tries to close our way, God is there ready to remove that obstacle. I'm telling you the truth. God is there ready to remove that obstacle. People think they can block you, but God will create another way for you. Praise God. So that's what he was telling them. That look, your light will break forth. And thy health shall spring forth speedingly. And you will become a healthy person. Do you know that happiness is medicine? Do you know that happiness is medicine? When you are a happy person, joy, peace, laughter is medicine to your bone. That's what Proverbs says. It's medicine. And you know, one of the things that makes a person happy easily, the one that will genuinely make you happy, is when you have helped people. When you have helped a person, you will feel joy in your heart. You will become happy. You will become happy. Remember the story of this man I told you, the rich man. He said he was looking for rich happiness in money, but he never got it. Then he bought also very beautiful things, nice cars, what here and there. So also good things, after some time he realizes it also loses. The last track, that look goes, the good look again begins to fade. So the beauty is just for a time. Even money could not make him happy. Praise God. And one day his friend says, there are some people, there are some children who need help. Can you buy for them 200 bicycles for disabled? And the man bought 200 bicycles for the disabled. And the man who asked him said, can we go and deliver them together? And they went and delivered them. And the children sat on it and they began to run around in their new bicycle. They were so happy. The man looked at the faces of the children and the man was so happy. For the first time he felt happiness in him. Praise God. And as they were preparing to go, one of the little kids got hold of his leg and said, why are you holding me back? And the man looked at the little child and said, I wanted to look at your face once more so that when I meet you in heaven, I thank you again. Just look at that. That thing changed the life of the person. So when we serve, when we bless people, when we help them, because we are now working for God, because there's God in us, because we are doing the works we are created to do, we are saved to come and do, our health will change. Our health will change. Healing comes speedingly. God says, and then healing comes speedingly. And you see, you begin to have a reason to live. I was with mommy and someone told us a story which was really sad. At the same time, it teaches you a lot. No wonder Ecclesiastes says that it is better to go to a place where people are mourning in funeral than to go to a party. Because you may go there and your face is sad for some time, but you will learn a lot. You will become wiser. And then when you get back, you will know how to live a better way. Of course, some people go to drink and dance in the funeral. Praise God. But during this COVID, the lady told us, said she went to the ICU. She saw 21 people die and leave her there. 21 people in ICU. And the woman wondered. But with that, she was a believer. But that thing shook her. She said some wealthy people, some have millions of dollars. One of them had $20 million. $20 million in the account here in Uganda. Because what God gives us is for service. The man was crying. Call for me, my lawyer. Call for me, my lawyer. I want my lawyer. And he could not even breathe properly. Call my lawyer. He made a lot of noise. And the wife came. You go away. I don't want to see you. You want to steal my money. You want to steal my money. The son again came. So no, you go. You want to steal my money? So the man's money was his money. It was not for service. It was not for help. You want to take my property? And he realized he was dying. He was leaving it. So he was calling the lawyer. How can I save my property? How can I save? And he was calling the lawyer's name. Call for my lawyer. Oh, call for my lawyer. Then someone, the lady said, she offered. She said, what do you want to tell your lawyer? Speak it here on this WhatsApp. Speak it. We can send it and the lawyer will hear. So no, you want to steal me. You want to steal me. And began to call the name of the lawyer. Oh, lawyer. You see, church, we need to understand why resources are put in our hands. People go and amass, they steal from the public coffers. They block people from getting their money. They do a avok. Some of them sell our fellow Ugandans. They deceive young girls and young boys. That look, there's a job somewhere in Arabia, in Oman, very dangerous places. And they paint a very good picture. And because our people here also, they don't know how to get the resources that God has for them. They have no connection. They just run like sheep going into slaughter. They just go. They go and cut them and get away their body organs. People are suffering and no one is speaking out. That's why you people, you need to pray. And all because of money. And this sister who was saved, she said that thing shook her. He said, if things are going to end up like this, then why are we working so hard? Why should we work so hard to try to get all those things? If it's going to end like that. So he said it in this car, I said, look, what those resources are for work. If you want to be fulfilled, use it to be a blessing to the world. Because the Bible says it is well with the righteous. Their work will follow them. Their works will follow them. Even on earth here, the people who remain, they will know that it was so and so. They will keep blessing you even after you have died. And that blessing will go and get your children who are alive. So those are tools for service. We should, what is important for us is to express God's love towards people, towards our world, and to make them know that there's a kingdom they can enter, which can change their lives, which can help them. Praise God. Verse number 8 says, then the glory of God will manifest in your life. When you live the way God wants, you work the work of God. You serve God. His glory will break forth in your life. Serve God with your money. Serve God with your physical life. Serve people. Serve your family. Be a blessing to them. Don't serve money. The moment you serve money, you will not be happy. You will never be happy, man. Praise God. Those fellows, their actions and their words were wrong. God said, correct that. And your answer will come. Correct that. And my glory will change you. I will add value to your life. I will bless you. I will back you up in what you are doing. Praise God. That's why none of you should not, none of you should entertain the notion of failing in life. Praise God. In verse number 9, then you will call and I will answer. Then you will cry. When you cry out for me, I will say, I'm here. But make sure you don't do bad things and guard your tongue. That's what number 9 says. Guard your tongue. Don't slander. Filter what you are about to say. Say what will encourage people. Say what will bless people. Praise God. And he says, when you do that, then your light will rise in obscurity. Your light will rise in obscurity. When you are not known, I will make you known. You are not known, I will make. When you do good things, I will make you known. Professor Gwang. Who knew him? I didn't know him. I don't know him. Before he discovered for us COVID, did you know him? You see, when you spend, look at the sacrifices to help people. The time the man spent to research until he discovered that. But the devil was trying to fight him. But you cannot fight that man. Because God is behind that. Praise God. So he says, when you do good things, I will make you be known. When there's darkness, I will bring you out. Praise God. And in verse 11, he says, I will guide you continually. I will guide you continually. And he says, and satisfy thy soul in drought. When there's famine, when there's economic problem, I will satisfy you. When there's economic problem, when people are saying there's no money, I will satisfy you with money. I will make your bone fat. When people say, I will make your bone fat. Some of you who love meat as little boys, you don't spare even the thigh bone. You have to break it and suck that fat inside the thigh bone. But if you get a chicken which is emaciated, there's no oil in the bone. So when God says, I will make your bone fat, I will nourish you. I will nourish you. Praise God. This year the Lord will nourish you. This year you will not lack. Because you are going to live like the way He says it in His word. Praise God. And He said, thou shalt be like a watered garden. Can you imagine that? A watered garden. How many of you love gardens which are nice with flowers? A watered one. God says, I will water you. I will supply you. I will supply you. This year the Lord will supply you. Like a spring of water that does not fail. Church, we are special people. Let me tell you, when you are under attack, when you are discouraged, never close your mouth. Speak out. Lord, I thank you that my time for a job has come. My time for a good job has come. And I will glorify you with that job. And my first fruit will go to you. My first fruit will go to you. To show you that I'm serious. My time has come. Praise God. I had a testimony of a certain guy. A certain man of God. They were living in a small house, but they were tired. And one day the man said he was praying. Then he heard God says, you are out of this place in a week. In 7 days. Then he began to pray violently. And he said, we are 6 days. We are 6 days remaining. We are out of this place. 5 days we are remaining. The man, his faith went up. He became mad and violent. 3 days we are going to be out of this place. 2 days we are going to be out. And the wife began to pray. Where are we going? Where are we going? The wife was now crying. But where are we going? They did not have the money. They did not have anything. We are here. 1 day we are out of here. I tell you, when that one day passed, God did a miracle and opened a door, and they got a very big building, a very good home, a very good home. He's now one of the wealthiest men of God. Praise God. I'm telling you, his mouth, if he had shut his mouth, he would have remained in that house. I learned a lot of lessons. There are times when I shut my mouth and I suffered. And there are times when I opened my mouth and miracles happened. Praise God. Sometimes when God gives you a word, don't keep quiet, speak it out. God gave me a word in Tanzania. We had gone with my wife to preach there. She came under attack. She was unconscious in Zambia for 5 days. And every day I would leave the hospital at 2 a.m. It was terrible. It was one of the most terrible life time in my life. And God had given me a word from Tanzania when we were still there before that time. Became serious. But I kept my mouth shut. I don't know how. But that last day after 5 days of admission, I came back home and I opened my mouth and began to worship God. And I felt a half of my body tied like with very strong rope. So I knew that was her in the hospital. Death had tied her. Then as I continued worshipping and declaring what God spoke to me to declare, I had a knife going through this invisible rope,
sharp knife,
and up to my feet. Then I found half of my body free. Look at the mystery of marriage. Half of my body was free. And I went to the hospital and I found my wife sitting on the bed. And when we were leaving the hospital, the nurse said, no one who had reached your condition left this place alive. And never shut your mouth. Whatever the test, whatever you're going through, speak the words of God. Speak the oracles of God. Declare it. Poverty is also a demon. Speak it out of your life. Break every evil covering over your life. That's why we're in this prayer. Praise God. Verse number 12. And they shall be, And they that shall be of thee shall build all waste places. I will make you a constructor. I will make you build. If you are going to live the way I say, you will build. You will build what your ancestors never built before. You will be a builder. This year, may you acquire land, may you build. May you build people's lives. May you build your marriage. May you build your family. May you build business that cannot collapse, that will grow. Praise God. I'm telling you, when you have wayward children, speak the word after them. Speak the word after them. The children who are influenced out there easily, speak the word and let the word you speak will correct them, will go after them, will deliver them. Praise God. And verse number 13. If thou turn away thy foot from the Sabbath, if thou turn away thy foot from the Sabbath, from doing thy pleasure on my holy day, and call the Sabbath a delight, the holy of the Lord, honorable, and shall honor him, not doing thine own way, or finding thy own pleasure, not speaking thy own word. With us in the New Testament, every day is a Sabbath day for us. Every day is a holy day for us. We live according to the will of God. But look at what number 14 says. Then shalt thou delight thyself in the Lord. I will cause thee to ride upon the high places of the earth. That's a powerful scripture. I will cause you to ride upon the high places of the earth. I will make you step where you have never stepped before. I will make you test what you have never tested. I will make you have what you have never had before. I will change your life. I will take your life very high because of service. Praise God. Lift up your hand and talk to the Lord. Ask him to give you the grace to live according to his word. Where you have been messing with your mouth and your action, ask the Lord to forgive you. Ask him 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 to forgive you. Cancel evil words. Terminate them. Cancel them. Negative words. Cancel them. Disconnect yourself. From every source of wickedness assigned against you. Disconnect yourself in the name of Jesus. I disconnect my life. Declare that I disconnect my life from every source of evil. From every evil altar. From every evil power source. I disconnect myself from
you.
Father, we thank you. We give you glory and honor. Let your word work in their lives. Let your word work in their lives. I pray even those who are receiving this message online, let your word work for them. Father, we thank you. We give you glory and honor. In Jesus' name, give the Lord a mighty hand. If you are here, you want to give your life to Jesus, can I see your hand?
You want to get saved?
Come.
Django.
Come, we thank you. Going to give your life to Jesus? Let me tell you, church, let's reach people. Let's bring them to church. Let's invite them. So let's receive him. Follow this simple prayer after me. Say, dear Jesus, even those ones who are watching online, you can follow the same prayer. Say, dear Jesus, I come to you as a sinner. Forgive all my sins. I repent of my sins. Right now, I invite you. Come into my heart. Be my Lord and Savior. Amen. Bless me and make me a blessing. Amen. Give the Lord a mighty hand of praise. This year, don't joke with your tithe. Don't joke with giving. God says 10% of your income, return it to me. I will open the heavens and bless you. Those who don't tithe, they operate under closed heaven. So let's pray. Father, as your people give, bless them. Increase them, multiply them in every way. In Jesus' name.